March of Time. Today we bring you reenactments of memorable scenes from the history of two ambitious young men, Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll, who have done much to make radio history.
Pertinent facts that will live forever in the pages of Variety and the Hollywood Reporter from The March of Time.
March 1928. These two ambitious young men sit in the office of radio station WMAQ, Chicago. They talk to the manager. They want to try their hand at this thing called radio.
Now, first of all, see, you gotta get a name for the act, see?
We've already got a name for it, Sam and Henry.
No, Freeman. We're gonna call ourselves Amos and Andy.
I'm sorry.
And so, these two ambitious young men decided on a name that was destined to become a household word.
But an announcer was needed. Audition after audition was held. Hundreds of announcers were heard, but none satisfied these two ambitious young men. Every announcer so far had spoken too clearly. People would be able to understand what he was saying. And then one day...
Say, Charlie, there's two announcers outside, the one on audition. Let's give them a listen.
I hope they're what we're looking for. Bring them in.
Okay, fellas, come on in. Now, this is my partner, Mr. Correll. This is Mr. Hay and Mr. Weed.
Glad to meet you.
Hi, laddie. It's very great to meet you, too.
I'm happy to force a straight away, because you read a word. I don't want to spell it. This is terrible.
What?
I say I'm happy to be back and forth and brace the steel rate. Not at more, but it's a cat whip.
Oh, yeah. Say, I like this fella.
Well, let's listen to both of them.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Hay, if you read this, please.
Sure, laddie. Aye, if you'll all gather about your lewd speaker for a wee minute, I'd gladly tell you about this great new toothpaste we're offering.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Hay. And now, Mr. Weed, if you'll just read the same announcement.
Certainly. Folks, if you'll just use Friday for the state of me twice a week with me, and all the folks you use it for their preacher's steel more, and use it Friday still right away. Not because it's and use it right in between your gums.
I wonder if you'd read that for me again.
Be glad to, folks. If you'll just remember to use water twice speed at the 10 days and have the cattle water speed. Don't use battery because it's salary in rest of state and right in your upper bridge work. Emerson.
Well, that's fine. Now, if you'll both wait outside for a moment.
Aye, laddie.
Certainly. Okay, this is better. All right.
You know, I like that Bill Hay. What about you?
No, I don't agree. I like the other fellow. You can understand him better.
Well, it ain't a case of understanding them. It's the type to match our program that's more important.
Well, let's have them read just a couple of more lines apiece, and then we'll decide.
All right. Will you come in again, please, gentlemen? Now, Mr. Weed, if you'll just read a couple of lines for us.
Certainly, Mr. Garson. Folks, you see, when you use Spider Force as Spider Fates, you have received twice a day, we find that the vapor is safe. Not that it called vapor said, and the reason for that is because Bravos, the carbocyte seed of Rundafeet, and contains irium.
Well, now, that's fine, Mr. Weed. Now, Mr. Hay, please.
Hi, laddie. Lads and lassies, when you use our great product, your teeth will be brighter than ever because it contains irium.
That does it. Mr. Hay, you got the job. Boy, the way you pronounce irium, nobody would know what you're saying. I'm sorry, Mr. Weed, but your pronunciation is too good. We can understand what you're saying.
Oh, what's the use? I feel like I'm saying you fight the state of media party. You can't even get president's state. I just want to water it.
And so, after tedious hours of auditioning applicants, Bill Hay was selected to announce the program of these two ambitious young men, Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll.
Within a few months, homes throughout the country eagerly awaited the hour every night when the National Broadcasting Company, giant octopus-like organization, brought this black-faced team into their homes. Here's a typical Florida home.
This trip we've taken, while we working, putting up a tent. You writing there with a pencil and piece of paper.
A typical Iowa home.
That's back again, you know. I told you I was going to do that. I'm going to keep a record of the home.
A typical California home.
You want to go down to the waterfront and get some fresh fish? You know, we've got a lot of fish around Boston.
A typical Oregon home.
Oh, doing a lot of cooking. Well, you ain't working your head off doing nothing except writing that crazy stuff.
A typical Illinois home.
Not only that, I was mad.
All right, you're going to keep on now. You can catch a bus or something.
A typical New England home.
All you doing is crabbing.
I asked you fellas to go to Petersburg, West Virginia.
Petersburg?
Throughout the country, millions listened eagerly and laughed heartily. Children wouldn't go to bed. Old folks stayed up way past their bedtime night after night. Power companies made extra profit, for never before had so many people burned electric lights so late at night. More radio sets were sold as the phenomenal popularity of Amos and Andy mounted steadily.
People were grateful to the National Broadcasting Company, giant octopus-like organization, for making it possible through their facilities to hear the famed team. Foreign countries likewise buzzed with the excitement of Amos and Andy's popularity. In the far-off land of Shugdral Fatifas, for example... Even to the sunny shores of Hidrokoldefad, people were heard to say... And so it was, through the years, the popularity of Amos and Andy steadily mounted. 3 years. 5 years. 7 years. New facilities had to be installed on the network. More stations added to meet the increasing demands of listeners. Years pass. Gosden and Correll begin to winter in Palm Springs, broadcasting from the tower of famed El Mirador Hotel in the desert resort. No other studio satisfied this team that towered above all others.
Let's look in on Gosden and Correll, basking in the warm sunshine that beats down on the turquoise waters of the El Mirador swimming pool. Eleven years
and 2 weeks of steady broadcasting over the network of the National Broadcasting Company, giant octopus-like organization. Time marches on.
April 3rd, 1939. A strange phenomenon of radio is being excitedly discussed wherever radio listeners gather. Wherever that is, millions of faithful followers of Amos and Andy are grieving.
Sad indeed that with all the powers of science today, no one is able to understand this strange phenomenon. It is evening, April 3rd, 1939. A retired banker in a typical Florida home sits by his radio, defeat in his eyes, slowly twisting the tuning dial.
Very strange. They're just not on the dial. They've disappeared. Very strange.
A typical Iowa farmer does likewise.
Well, darn it, Ma, that's funny. Amos and Andy ain't on the air no more. Can't figure it out.
A typical Californian falteringly fingers the dial of his radio.
Pour me a strong glass of orange juice, Mary. I'm going to sit at this radio all night until I get him. I just can't figure out...
So it was throughout the entire nation. Even in the far-off land of Shugdral Fatifas.
My sir, prepare to the people, my sir, see me that asses. Name with his sister, Amos and Andy. I put a couple of my feet on the poor baby's ass. Amos and Andy put a minute.
And the sunny shores of Hidrokoldefar.
Nefkus is a bright. His kills go bright. Amos and Andy. For his quick was there. The brows to Amos and Andy. For that is the first.
Meantime, National Broadcasting Company, giant octopus-like organization, sits by awaiting developments. One of the NBC executives, vice president in charge of what happened in Studio E, gives his views on the matter.
Hello there, Squidges. Are you giving to misunderstanding me? Or is what I'm hearing making me to labeling under a Miss Apple Dumpling? It is the strangest thing, this this what you're talking about. It is not for me to be sitting here telling myself in a loud voice what is happening, because even if you told me, I wouldn't know anyway.
Time marches on. Weeks have passed. The first utter grief of the nation's loss is deeply felt. until one day one of America's eminent scientists finally succeeds in contacting, through pantoscope telepath frequencies, voices from the planet Mars.
Through our NBC Special Events Department, we are now going to attempt a contact with the inhabitants on this far-off planet.
Pray tell, fellow Martian, what is this strange thing we hear from the Earth people today?
I really don't know, compatriot. It was a garbled message anent to use of soup, whatever that might be.
Something to keep the hair down, no doubt.
Might be. Might be. Yes, might be.
I also heard mention of one Amos and Ande, too.
Strange that we should hear these things on Mars.
Strange indeed is this phenomenon that Amos and Andy, since moving from the National Broadcasting Company, giant octopus-like organization, to the Columbia Broadcasting System, small minnow-like organization, are heard only by those living on the planet Mars.
Time marches on!